Earlier this month on Bengal Buzz, Ryan Sargent sat down with Glenn Alford, longtime sports information director at Idaho State University. We hear part two of that conversation next. This is FM 91 KISU Pocatello, Idaho Falls, Rexburg. Find us on the web at kisu.org. Even use your Google or Amazon Home smart speaker with the command Play KISU.
Program support for KISU's Bengal Buzz is provided by a grant from ISU Credit Union. With offices in Idaho Falls, Blackfoot, Burley, and Pocatello, ISU Credit Union provides a full line of services for financial solutions, including home, auto and RV loans, and credit cards, plus over 5,000 shared branches nationwide and much more. Bengal Buzz, supported by ISU Credit Union. You've never seen banking like this.
Now the host of Bengal Buzz, Ryan Sargent.
Welcome to Bengal Buzz. My name is Ryan Sargent. I'm your host, and I'm very excited because Glenn Alford has decided to stick around and do another episode for us this week. Glenn, welcome back to the show.
My pleasure, Ryan.
Glenn is a sport member of the ISU Sports Hall of Fame. He's a winner of the Lifetime Achievement Award. Also, the living authority on ISU athletics. Probably no one else alive today that has been to more ISU games or has more knowledge of Idaho State athletics. So we're excited to
emphasize the living part.
And Glenn, I was telling you before we started recording, I think that our episode last week, KISU doesn't have very good ways to track who's listening when. I'm not sure any radio station does, but just based on the responses that we received from our show a couple of weeks ago, I think your first interview was the most listened to interview we've ever done on Bengal Buzz.
That could be a commentary on the lack of things to do in Pocatello. I would like to mention three people who contacted me. One was Dave Gehringer, who worked in sports information at ISU for 7 years, I believe, in the late 80s and early 90s. One was Joe Marino, a retired fireman in Rhode Island, who was just inducted in the Sports Hall of Fame for his football ability. And another fellow named Randy Craig, who was a basketball player, a point guard. In fact, Jim Killingsworth's first point guard in the 1970s, and a very good one, and also a center fielder on the ISU baseball team, and a very good one. He sent me a message on Facebook and said, surely I did one thing that you could mention on the radio. Sorry, Randy, I can't. So I can't mention you.
We really did have a great response, though. Several emails. Thanks, everyone, for being active on Facebook. And I know many of you caught maybe just the second half of our first interview, or you're out of town and wanted to listen, but we're outside of KISU's range. I want to let everyone know that I've spoken to the good folks here at the studio. If they haven't already, they will be putting up the first half of this interview on the KISU website. So if you go to KISU.org and then click on Bengal Buzz, it should be there as an MP3 to download. So please do that.
I'm honored, and I mean that sincerely. I'm very honored.
So Glenn, a couple weeks ago when you were on, we talked about some of your best experiences as SID, or some things that stuck out in your mind. You mentioned some individual athletes' accomplishments in track and field. If you could go back in time and watch one game again, what game would it be?
Oh, it would have to be the UCLA basketball game. It came on the heels of us beating Long Beach State in the first round game here in Pocatello in 1977. And when we beat them, we earned the right to go to the Marriott Center in Provo and play UCLA. And everybody assumed we were the sacrificial goats, that we would be the stepping stone on which UCLA would advance to their, I believe it would have been their 11th Final Four in 13 years. people may not remember that UCLA was the gold standard in college basketball, men's college basketball at that time. Sports Illustrated really did a hatchet job on ISU after we beat Long Beach State. Some of the things they said were, does Idaho State offer athletic scholarships? If so, why would anybody accept one? I mean, they really, said... This is after the Long Beach State game and before we played UCLA.
Oh, wow.
And even after we beat UCLA, they were less than complimentary. One of the things they said was, as thousands of potato farmers stood shoulder to shoulder in the Marriott Center chanting Idaho State. I mean, that's not, you don't hear that about North Carolina after they beat Duke.
Sure. Oh, I had no idea that Sports Illustrated was so critical of ISU.
A writer named Barry McDermott hacked us up pretty good. And I personally felt not vindicated, but I felt like our basketball program was vindicated. I thought that they might not necessarily apologize, but acknowledge the fact that we made their lead college basketball writer look like a schnook by beating UCLA, but they just flew right over their heads.
Yeah. Obviously, one of the most memorable games. I think the Big Sky rated it a couple years ago as the number two game in Big Sky history. Can you tell us a little bit about that season? I know like Steve Hayes from Aberdeen, for example, was on that team. But tell us a little bit about that team and maybe why that season was extra special beyond beating UCLA.
It's been said that Jim Killingsworth didn't recruit basketball players. He recruited sons. And the makeup of that team reflected that. These were people that could go in anybody's living room and be right at home, just fit in perfectly, well-behaved, just good people, who some of whom happened to be 7 feet tall, and some of them happened to be able to shoot a basketball extremely well, all of whom could play good defense. Steve Hayes remains a friend to this day. He, whenever he returns to Pocatello, which is more often than you'd think, he calls up Phil Lucky and I, and we have breakfast or lunch with him somewhere and shoot the breeze about the good old days. And unlike some old days, these were good old days. Ed Thompson comes to Pocatello occasionally, and he and his wife Jackie, who incidentally used to work in university relations, that's how they met. What a gentleman he is. Jeff Cook, 6'11", out of Southern California, who nobody recruited, and I mean nobody. His brother was 7'3", and they called him the grasshopper. But Jeff, just a really nice guy who went on to play about 5 years in the NBA. Steve played a lot of years in the NBA. He was never a star, but you never outgrow your need for a 7-foot center. And he played 10 or 12 years, and he's active in the NBA Alumni Association. He'll post pictures on Facebook with him and George Gervin, or just you name it. And he's there in a picture with him at some NBA Alumni Association get together. It's not just a pleasure to remember the games and the winning. It's a pleasure to remember the personalities that were on that team. I've always said that you can tell when a group of young men and women really like each other, and that team really liked each other. It was fun to watch on different levels.
You know, and I think Stan Kloss, I think, was on that team as well.
Yes.
He's a member of the alumni board right now, and I can just say, such a genuine, good-hearted guy.
Yeah.
That is really continuing to do great things for Idaho State, even though he hasn't lived in Idaho since he graduated.
Former, if I remember correctly, he was a senatorial candidate in West Virginia at one point.
Yeah, you're right. He ran, I think, for office a couple of times in West Virginia, but once for U.S. Senate against Robert Byrd. Yeah, the famous Robert Byrd.
Yes. Unfortunately, he didn't beat him.
And I think he ran for state treasurer over there as well, if I am not mistaken. But he played his hand in politics. I'll tell you a story. When he first applied to be on the alumni board, I called him up to talk to him a little bit, and I asked him what he did for a living. He said, well, I'm in the fossil business. And I thought, well, he must mean fossil fuels. He must be an oil guy or something.
Or he meant me.
But he was living in Louisiana at the time, so I thought, oh, he must, work in oil. So I said, well, tell me a little bit about the fossil business. And he proceeded to talk about trading dinosaur bones and selling dinosaur bones to museums. So he was literally in the fossil business. Just an incredible guy and, quite the character. Very interesting.
He's also an expert on early, and I mean early, U.S. history. One of his areas of expertise is the Articles of Confederation, which preceded the Declaration of Independence in colonial America. He's an interesting guy in a number of topics, just one of which is basketball.
Yeah. So after the, if I remember right, after we played UCLA, beat UCLA, moved on to the Elite Eight and played UNLV,
Yes.
And that was a very good game as well. We didn't come out on top, but didn't we play them pretty tight?
Going in, let me set the table a bit. In before we played in the Western Regional in Provo, the night before, Killingsworth told me and some other people that the team he really wanted to play in that regional was UCLA because they had nobody who would match up with Steve Hayes.
Uh-huh.
They tried a number of people on him, several of whom played in the NBA, but no matter how good they were, none of them was 7 feet tall, and they had no answer for Steve. And, of course, we won the game. It was a struggle, but we won. Anyway, the night before, he said the team he was most worried about playing was UNLV because they had such great depth. And, of course, we had no depth.
Mm-hmm.
And they went up and down the court. And he feared that if we got in a game with them, that we would because of the style they played, be forced to go up and down the court with them, and they would wear us down.
Called them the Running Rebels for a reason.
Yes, they were. And at halftime, we were ahead of them by 1 point, but we were really dragging. And in the second half, their depth told, and what Killingsworth feared came to pass, and they beat us by 18 or 19 points, I believe. They pulled away late in the game.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
But we did shock the basketball world for another half before UNLV's depth finally got to us.
Yeah. Yeah. What a remarkable season. I should mention, and you mentioned, that Steve Hayes comes back to town fairly frequently, and Steve has actually planned a reunion for the 73-74 team that I guess he must have been a freshman on, or maybe a sophomore. So a lot of these, or at least a handful of these same guys that played in the famous UCLA game, will be back on March 9th when the Bengals take on the Vandals here in Pocatello. We'll have a pregame Beat Idaho rally, but we'll feature that 73-74 team, which, if I remember correctly, is the first basketball team to win the Big Sky, the first Idaho State basketball team to win a Big Sky championship.
Idaho State had a very significant basketball legacy built in the 50s. At one point, we had been in the NCAA tournament. We had played the fifth most NCAA tournament games of any college in the country. That was when the tournament may have been 30 teams or 32 teams. We always won the Rocky Mountain Conference and always advanced to the NCAA tournament. But that legacy did not carry over into the Big Sky until Jim Killingsworth got here. Mm-hmm. And the 1974 team, we tied with Montana for the conference championship, and we ended up playing a one-game playoff in Missoula. And nowadays, it's not uncommon for basketball teams to win on the road. For example, this is being recorded on Friday. Last night, ISU won at Northern Arizona. Mm-hmm. But in the 70s, if you won two road games, you might be the conference champion.
Really?
Yeah. It was tough to win.
Different world, huh?
And it was really tough to win at Montana. It still is really tough to win at Montana.
How old's their I mean, I've seen a game at Montana. Is that the same facility they played at?
Harry Adams Fieldhouse, yes.
Okay.
It's been decked out in bells and whistles, but it's the same arena.
Yeah, that's loud in there, and they're right on top of the court. I mean,
yeah,
they're fans.
Are. And we went up there and beat them, and freshman Steve Hayes was going against all-conference center Ken McKenzie, and Steve had 19 points and 13 rebounds in the game. And Steve had played well as a freshman, averaging about 9 points a game. But that was really his coming out party. That was when people could look at him and go, boy, future looks pretty good.
And who did we play in the tournament? Was that New Mexico that year?
We played New Mexico, and that was in Pocatello. And Norm Ellenberger was the coach of New Mexico, and he was a heck of a coach. And watching him and Jim Killingsworth play chess against each other in that game was interesting. I mean, guys had come in. Back then, you could substitute before the first shot of a two-shot foul, and they'd substitute a guy before the first shot and then replace him with somebody else before the second shot. guys that have 2 seconds time of playing time in the game. They were moving guys in and out so fast.
Well, yeah. So what's changed most significantly in the game of basketball from kind of that era in the 70s to today?
The shot clock. In 1977, we played quite a few significant stall games. Mm-hmm. Actually, it's, we beat Montana State 31-11.
Held
them scoreless in the first half.
And this is in the 1970s.
1977.
77, wow.
Halftime score was 8-0. we beat Montana, I believe it was 24-23. We lost a one-point game to Northern Arizona. I think it was 28-27.
Oh,
so
wow.
So people were trying to stall against us. it was really frustrating to watch a really good team stand around without any – people would just flat out hold the ball. And Killingsworth would dare them to do it, and they did it. And we ended up beating them. But it was – and it was always here. Nobody would ever stall on their own home court. They'd always come here. And people
so that's part of the strategy to win a road game, huh? Was you just took the lead and slowed it down? Yeah.
And if you paid $10 for a ticket to come into Holt Arena and watch Montana, you didn't want Michael Ray Richardson to stand at half court with the ball for 8 minutes.
So when did the NCAA adopt the shot clock?
Now you're asking me to remember stuff not involving LSU.
After you rattle off specific scores from 30 years ago.
I think it was 84, 85, somewhere in there. It was it was a package deal, if I remember correctly, with a three-point shot.
Okay. So NCAA didn't adopt three-point shot till the mid-80s then, huh?
Yes, okay. That's correct.
Oh, interesting, interesting. So, you know, we've got about 8 or 9 minutes left. I feel like we need to talk about football. What was the greatest football game? If you could go back to one football game, what game would you want to watch?
The Globe of Death game against Boise State.
That was the first game I ever saw, first ISU game. My dad took me as a, little kid.
And the first Globe of Death game anybody ever saw. After that game, everybody... I mean, high schools all over the country were running the Globe of Death. And finally, they legislated, they put a rule in that you, and they couched it in fancy terms, but the effect was you couldn't have five guys run together and then break out of a huddle and nobody knew where the ball was because you couldn't tell, the referees couldn't tell if there was a forward lateral involved.
Oh, yeah, interesting.
Anyway, we're playing Boise, and we're leading them the whole game. And they scored with like 35 seconds left to go in the game. And our whole crowd, all 11,000 of them, was suicidal. We'd led our hated rival the whole game, and they'd scored. And there was no time left, and we were going to lose. They'd been kicking off into the end zone the whole game. Mm-hmm. But this one, they kicked off short. So there'd have to be a return, which would take time off the clock. And we had a special formation that involved, we had all defensive backs and wide receivers and running backs on the return team, as opposed to the usual formation with some linemen up front and that kind of thing. And they kicked off short. Five guys all ran together on about the 10-yard line, and they all were in like a huddle, all of them pumping their feet up and down. And then they all broke away and ran in opposite directions. And one of the running backs had the ball, and he returned it about 40 yards up to about the 45-yard line. And at that point, everybody was going crazy because none of them knew what the devil was going on. I mean, I didn't know. The only people that knew were Kyle Whittingham and Chris Kulig, the defensive, well, the special teams coaches. And on the first play after that, our quarterback was Paul Putnam, and he went back to pass, and Boise State's nose tackle cheap shotted him. So that added 15 more yards on, and all of a sudden, we're in scoring position with like 25 seconds left to go. The upshot of it was Putnam threw a touchdown pass to Romy Wheeler with about 5 seconds left in the game, and we won the game. And that was all the emotions that you could possibly have at a football game took place within about 30 seconds on the scoreboard clock.
I remember that Monday at Little League, we all wanted to grow up and play for ISU that Monday. I'll tell you what.
I bet your coaches put in the Globe of Death. After the game, the ISU, I was on the second level of the south press box, and our coaches were above us, the coaches that were on the phones. And Kulig was up in the press box, and he came down, and I grabbed him, and I said, "What in the world was that?" And he said, "The Globe of Death." And I said, "What?" He said, "The Globe of Death. Kyle named it after a motorcycle stunt he once saw." I went, "Well, that makes sense."
Very cool. And so I forget, what year is that? Is that the last time BSU came to Pocatello to play?
I can't answer.
93 or 94, I would guess, but
It would have been in there. McNeely was the head coach, and his last year was 95,
okay.
I think. Yeah.
And BSU, that's about the time BSU left the Big Sky, right? It was mid-90s at some point.
95, 96. It was when President Bowen spearheaded the move, something to do with scholarships, and Boise State and Idaho decided they didn't want to be part of any scholarship restriction, so they just left.
Yeah.
Actually, Boise left, and Idaho decided that if Boise was going to leave, they couldn't leave the University of Idaho behind. So they went on to 20 years of very undistinguished participation in the Division I, 1A.
Yeah. And they've had a rough time their first season back as well.
They did, but...
I'll tell you what, that was one of the best sights I've ever seen, was watching those Vandals file out in the third quarter and in the mini dome this year.
That would have been another choice for favorite game. boy, it was, I expected us to win, but I didn't expect us to just annihilate.
Yeah, 32 points or whatever. I mean, you know, I went to law school at U of I, and a lot of my classmates who did their undergrad and graduate work at U of I were in Pocatello that day, and they were talking pretty mighty before the game. But when we went to Buddy's that night, I didn't hear one mention of what happened on the football field that day.
You laughed last, laughed best, and a lot of Bengals were laughing last.
So, Glenn, we've got just a couple of minutes left. I wonder if you could tell us what you think of the direction of ISU athletics right now. Are you hopeful about the direction the football team's going? What's keeping you excited about ISU?
I'd like to address the direction of the university, which is it's going up like a skyrocket. I've met President Satterlee a couple of times. We're not bosom buddies, but he's made all the right moves. He's aware, came in aware that he had 10 years of misery to erase, and he's doing his best to erase it. He's sensitive to the previous issues, but he's not getting bogged down by them. He's moving forward. Just a simple thing like was in the Idaho State Journal about coffee with the president.
Yeah,
stuff like that. Getting out and meeting people. What a concept. We haven't had a concept like that for a while.
He's excited about Idaho State, and that's permeating into the faculty and staff and the students and out in to Pocatello and all throughout eastern Idaho, I think.
And carrying that on to the athletic department, he has an extensive history at Boise State, and he's seen what a good football team can do, A, to the morale of the entire university, B, to the national recognition of the university, and C, enrollment. Mm-hmm. And a good football team at Boise State has done all of those things for Boise. Maybe they can do that here. It's not like we need enrollment or anything.
Well, Glenn, it's always great to talk to you. Thank you so much for agreeing to be on the show and then agreeing to come back and do another episode with me. It's been great.
My pleasure, and I mean that.
Go Bengals.
Support for Bengal Buzz is made possible through funding from ISU Credit Union. ISU Credit Union is providing financial solutions to members from their offices in Pocatello, Idaho Falls, Blackfoot, and Burley. Services include mobile and online banking, mortgage loans, auto loans, and more. Modern financial support provided for you in a caring, member-friendly environment. Bengal Buzz, supported by ISU Credit Union. You've never seen banking like this.